For scripture reading, I want to first turn to Acts and then Luke. So first, some verses from Acts, the first 12 verses, and then turn to a few verses from Luke, the 24th chapter. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said also to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Thus far in Acts. Now back to Luke, the 24th chapter. And just reading those last relevant verses from verse 50 through 53. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And the focus will be on verse 51. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Congregation, it's a good question to ask ourselves is, how do we think about the ascension of the Lord Jesus? Do we think it has anything to do with our lives? Is it of any importance, as important as the birth of Christ or the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ? Was his work done long ago, and, well, his going into heaven really is of little consequence? He's just sitting there passively looking down upon the world and waiting for the time for the church to come to be with him. Well, Jesus did come to the earth to do very important work, to sacrifice himself as an offering for sin. And he did say at the end of his suffering, it is finished. And so I suppose we could get superficially the impression that after his resurrection it was all over and nothing more was to be done, and that Jesus has gone to heaven, and we have heard that he has gone to sit at the right hand of the Father, and so he's just going there to sit and wait until the last day. But that's not the case. He surely has not gone to heaven to cease to work, as much as we do rightly call heaven the eternal Sabbath. And the Bible certainly teaches that the ascension is not about Jesus stopping to work, certainly not about Jesus stopping to minister for the benefit of his church. He said to them in John 16, verse 7, "It is expedient for you," as the King James says, been translated, "it is to your advantage that I go." This verse that we have in front of us especially shows that Jesus has gone to heaven for the advantage of his church, for the benefit of believers. And so as we look at the theme, Jesus' ascension blessing, let us pay attention to this aspect of it. We'll divide it as a visible ascension and a blessed ascension. Jesus' ascension blessing, a visible ascension, and a blessed ascension. Now, as we look at the ascension of the Lord Jesus, it would help to just look at the briefly at the historical circumstances of his ascension. How did this happen? Important to remember, it was indeed history. We're not to look upon the events of the redemptive work of Christ as just stories. Certainly not as that the resurrection would be a myth or a wish. This is history. This is sacred history. The history of God's work in his Son, Jesus Christ. Where did this happen? And while we cannot pinpoint the exact spot, we do know quite accurately that it was on the eastern side of the Mount of Olives on the way to Bethany that this happened. When did it happen? Acts 1 verse 3 gives us the day in relation to his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. 40 days after his suffering, he ascended into heaven. And so we do know that in relation to, let's say, Good Friday or Easter, this is about the right day in relation to it to celebrate. How did this happen? Well, on that day, in the morning, Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem, and they came to the place on the way to Bethany where they stood for a while on the edge of this, or on the slopes of this mountain, this Mount of Olives, called sometimes Olivet. And there they were in conversation, as they usually were. A number of indications of the things that were said are given to us. And for instance, in Matthew 28, the Great Commission is spoken there. In Acts 1, we read of the things that they asked him about the restoration of the kingdom, and Jesus promising that the power of the Holy Spirit would be given them. And as he has spoken to them these things, he began to speak in benediction, in words of blessing. And as he was blessing them, he ascended into heaven. Let's look at a couple of aspects in particular. The fact that it was visible, that it was in the presence of the disciples, is significant. Jesus we may believe, deliberately chose an open place. He chose to have all of his 11 disciples present with him. Judas had died, but the 11 who were now to be named apostles had to be there, and before their eyes, he ascended into heaven. We read in Acts 1, verse 9, while they watched, it's specifically told to us that all of these 11 men saw him as he went into heaven. And why do I emphasize this? Well, Jesus had said to Mary, I go to my Father, and is it not possible that there are various ways in which he could have gone to his Father? Do we not remember that on the cross he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit? Indeed, then his soul went to be in fellowship with the Father and his body on earth, and that would have been a problem, his body still being in the grave. But then again, if body and soul were intact as after the resurrection, we realize that he could have gone to heaven another way. As he walked with the men on the way to Emmaus, he appeared, and then when he was eating bread with them, suddenly he disappeared. We read in that passage, they knew him, that is, their eyes were opened, they recognized that indeed this man who was talking to them was Jesus, and then we read, he vanished out of their sight. So couldn't Jesus simply have vanished out of their sight and gone to heaven that way? I believe that is a possibility. But Jesus did not choose to do that, to just sneak away, as it were, whether in the presence of the disciples or in between appearances for that matter. He wanted them all to see him. They all watched him as he ascended into heaven. Why was this? Well, because they were to be not only witnesses of his resurrection, but witnesses of his ascension. This was important for them as apostles, to be qualified, to be able to say, we saw with our eyes, we held him, we touched him, we viewed him, we heard him, we experienced him as he arose. Witnesses of the resurrection. That is important. It's mentioned by Peter in Acts 1, verse 22, when they're looking for a replacement for Judas. Well, he has to be someone who with us is a witness of the resurrection to qualify as an apostle. And then also witness of his ascension. The congregation, that was not just for their benefit, so that personally they could have this comfort, well, we know that Jesus really rose. We know that he really ascended. No, it is for our benefit, for the benefit of the church throughout history, because these men could write down in the pages of Scripture, infallibly, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Jesus really is alive. And he really ascended into heaven. Body and soul, he is there at the right hand of the Father as a real human being, ascending there for our comfort, for our benefit. Do we embrace that reality of the fact, the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Another aspect of this that I want to emphasize a little more is the benediction of his ascension, or the blessing. Jesus is ascending into heaven, and he is assuming the posture and language of benediction. The word benediction means an authoritative pronouncement of blessing. So simply to translate it, blessing is somewhat limited, though that is a correct translation. But there's more going on here. Jesus is engaging in an authoritative, divinely commissioned benediction. Now, the word blessing is used of the Beatitudes. So Jesus would teach. And he would say, blessed is this person. Blessed is that kind of person. But it was much more personal and beneficial when he said to Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood is not. So that was conferring a blessing upon. It was not just teaching about blessings. And then there were those times when ceremonially and officially in a particular time like the Passover that he would pray and that he would bless. As Jesus ascends into heaven, there is here something special to be noted, because we can see here the posture of blessing, the process of blessing, the position and the power. I just want to touch on those points. First of all, the posture of blessing. Notice it's said specifically in verse 50 that he lifts up his hands, plural. Not just one. Maybe a salutation by, but both hands. He lifts up both hands. And they recognize that ceremonial posture is the posture of an official benediction. He lifts up his hands and blesses them. Jesus was standing and both hands were lifted over the heads of his disciples. Maybe he's up a little higher on the mountain and they're below, and he is blessing them. They have expressed some concerns. They have expressed some doubts. And they have expressed some fears. And Jesus answers it all with his blessing upon them. Now in Numbers chapter 6, we know that the Lord commissioned Moses to instruct the priest to confer a blessing upon the church, the children of Israel. And there we read in Numbers 6, verse 22, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to the sons, his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee, the Lord be gracious to thee, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And then there's added, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So God is connecting the benediction to his effectual blessing upon the people. And congregation, notice the comparison that Luke is making. Notice the comparison he is making between the beginning of his Gospel account, chapter 1 of Luke, and this account. In each case, we have a high priest. Right? In Luke 1, the high priest is Zacharias. And there, in that case, we have a high priest who, while he's sincere and a believer, is imperfect and expresses his doubt. And then comes out after his sacrificing work. He comes outside, and there's something terribly pathetic about this. Surely an office bearer who has been limited understands something about how sad it is to be there and to want to be a blessing to the Lord's people
We can be sure he did. And there he stands. And maybe he started to put his hands up to put the blessing upon the Lord's people. And they were waiting for the blessing. But he couldn't say a word. And that absence of blessing waited for this one. Waited for the perfect priest to come, having given the perfect sacrifice, standing on the doorway of the perfect temple of heaven, and stretching out his hands and conferring upon the Lord's people the blessing of heaven on account of his work. I believe Luke is, who is the most theological of the four gospel accounts, is deliberately showing how Jesus fulfilled the imperfect types and shadows of the Old Testament. How we ought to adore this high priest who has ascended into heaven for our benefit and whose blessing. And there's a process here. There's a process. While he blessed them, he ascended into heaven. Was this just an interruption? Is it just that he was wanting to say more and he was blessing them and all of a sudden he was just sort of transported? Some foreign power just took him and lifted him up? No. This is exactly what Jesus planned. This is exactly the way he wanted it. This is the way he wanted his disciples to see him go. Blessing them. Have you ever been at an airport and you see your loved one go, and then later on you have that picture of the last sight of the loved one? You can't get it out of your mind. It just, you keep thinking, that's the last I saw of them. I'm sure if you would lose the loved one later on, that would be imprinted in your mind. Even more, if it be a long stay away. I'm sure that Jesus was sensitive to that kind of memory. He ascends into heaven and as if he is wanting to have his people remember him that way. If there's one picture of him, he wants them to remember through all their trials, through all their difficulties, through all their questions. It is this exalted, ascending Savior blessing them. Don't get that picture out of your mind. And he is ascending, as we mentioned, as a mediator, as prophet and priest and king. As priest is clearly stated in Hebrews 8, verse 1. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne on the majesty in heavens. We have such a high priest. Christ ascending into heaven as a high priest, having perfectly fulfilled the sacrifice, having shed the blood that is necessary to pay for sin and to take it away, extends his hands of blessing upon them. And we are under those hands. And those hands are offering free forgiveness on account of his perfect sacrifice. How do the disciples respond to those words of blessing and to the picture of the Savior ascending into heaven? We read they worship. They're humbled
on account of it all. They can hardly absorb the majesty and all the significance of His blessing hands. Those nail-pierced hands are facing them. And they too, with David, are able to say, how blessed is he whose trespass is freely been forgiven. He blesses, and I am blessed. And then he ascends as prophet. And they need not be afraid that their teacher, their rabbi, is abandoning them, as if he will not teach them anymore. He made use of the 40 days to teach them all the things concerning the kingdom of God. And he will continue to teach them from heaven. He will send his Holy Spirit, and his Spirit will bring all things to their remembrance, whatsoever he has spoken to them. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, he will lead them into all truth. These are the things that Jesus has promised. And he will further, not just send the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, but for the benefit of the whole church. Having anointed the apostles, they will become instruments to teach the church. And then throughout all the ages, the Lord gives teachers and pastors and elders and leaders. What an encouragement it is to know that this Jesus is gone into heaven. He pours out gifts from heaven upon his church. And those gifts equip his people for ministry in the fellowship of the church and in the ministry of evangelism. He is a teacher from heaven, teaching his people through the gospel. And then finally, he ascends as king. And they might be thinking, oh, now Jesus has gone into heaven and we've seen such mighty things that he has done. He has calmed the seas. He has opened the eyes of the blind. And he has done so many mighty, marvelous works. What will we do when he ascends into heaven? But he ascends into heaven reminding them, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth, and I will be with you. And I will give you the Holy Spirit, and you shall receive power from on high, and you shall be witnesses unto me, and signs shall follow. Marvelous things will be done. Oh, let every doubt be dispelled, because we have an ascended Savior who is constantly blessing his people in all their needs. Yes, we do well to say at the beginning of our services as a congregation, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. In the name of him who has all power in heaven and on earth. And if we ever doubt the effectiveness of his word, let us remember at the end of the service that the Savior who commissioned the preaching is the one who gave the blessing upon his church before he went to heaven. And that blessing is still going on. One day, even though the disciples worshipped here, and then they went back to Jerusalem, and there they were praising God, and they were encouraged. And it's marvelous to see how they were lifted up. I always marvel when I read this passage. They went to the temple. They didn't go back to this upper room and lock the door and hide from the Jews. They went right into the faces of every Jew that came to the temple. And they were praising God. And they were glorifying him. They already were manifesting that the blessing Savior was bestowing power upon them to be witnesses of him. they praised him. And so there is a connection between heaven and on earth. As they enter Jerusalem, praising God, Jesus enters the Jerusalem above and hears the angels say, singing praises. And the angels, according to Psalm 24, singing, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is this King of glory. And he has gone to heaven for the praise of the angels in heaven and for the good of the church. Amen.